Worthy is the Lamb. I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 6. Familiar passage to most of you, because we read this every time when I stand in these waters, I read Romans 6, but it's so fitting. And I'll be reading from the Message Bible. It says this, "So what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we're lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we're raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did." What powerful words from the Message found in Romans chapter 6. In fact, that's why Christmas occurred. You think of it. God presented his one and only Son to the world in a lonely manger simply for Christ to die and rise again, demonstrating the defeat of death so that we might live eternally with him. That's why baptism is so important to our Christian journey. While we know how symbolic this day is, we gather together to rejoice. Amen? Our morning began with the lighting of the Advent candle of faith. Now, how appropriate for two individuals are prepared to proclaim their faith journey, their love for God. After each one has shared this with you, they will enter into the example of Christ's baptism. This is an ordinance of the New Testament ordained by Jesus Christ, a visible sign of fellowship with Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. Please, during this celebration, give your attention to God. Give him the glory that he deserves, as he is the one who changes lives. I want you to note here at the very front that there has been a candle which has been lit from the beginning of the service, that big center candle there. This candle reminds us of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. After each baptismal candidate arises out of the water, an individual who has been of spiritual help in their journey of faith will come and light a candle to indicate the movement from darkness into light for the candidate, Christ being that light. Symbolically, we are saying a new light for Christ has begun. And immediately when the candidate rises from the water, we will sing a song which has significant meaning to them. So we would ask you to look at the screen and sing enthusiastically as we join the voices of the angels rejoicing in heaven. You have taken time this morning to reflect upon your own commitment to Christ. Today, maybe for you, as you observe this ordinance, you feel the tug of God in your heart, and your desire too is to walk in obedience through these waters as well. Please don't neglect that tug. Strengthen your walk with God. And talk to one of the staff or an elder after the service. Even though believers' baptism is an often repeated ordinance in the life of a congregation, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience for the believer, and it's a wonderful celebration for the church. I'm glad I'm here today. Are you? We come with reverence, and let us sincerely worship God during this experience. Let us rejoice along with the heavens for each person following Christ's example through these baptismal waters today. A little chilly, but it's okay. Well, it's cold outside. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we We cry out to you this morning. We call upon you, God, for your protection as we celebrate your Son, Jesus Christ. This is a very exciting celebration in the life of this church, God. And we realize that the devil himself angers easily over such times of rejoicing in your church. We give you, God, the praise and the thanks for Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who is buried, who rose on the third day. May your thoughts be our thoughts, Lord. We pray for those walking through these waters. Keep them strong in faith, Lord, ever steadfast in hope, abounding in love. Bestow on them the many gifts of your loving grace that they may serve you authentically. And protect us, Lord Jesus, as we glorify you through these waters. May you truly be glorified through the power and the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, Nelson, mm-hmm. You look at me. Yeah. You are so special. You have already shared in many ways with people of this church your belief in Jesus Christ. You really love him, don't you? Mm-hmm. And you know that God's in control because you've said that many, many times. Yeah. And you've taught us all that. And we have prayed for you. A lot of us have prayed for you, haven't we? And it's just great that you're in this baptistry today. And now I would like you to tell everybody here your story, your faith journey, because they want to hear it from you, not from me. Go ahead.
My dad always tells me the story about when I was born and I wasn't breathing, and God told my dad to talk to me and get me breathing. At 5, I prayed with my mom at bedtime to ask Jesus into my heart. At 6, when I got cancer, I just knew that God was with me always. I told my dad not to worry before I went into my surgery to have the brain tumor removed. I said, God is right here on my shoulder, Dad. I knew there were lots of people praying for me back then. Rev Dub, all the church, and my mom and dad would always pray for God's blanket of love, healing, and protection to be wrapped tight around me every night. I want to be baptized because I know that's what God wants me to do next in my life. I will always love and obey God because he has been so good to me all my life. I have this book that I got from Esther at the cancer clinic. She is also a pastor. It is called God is Always With You. That is all you need. I think so too.
Nelson, before I do it, I'm going to give you this charge from the Word of God. It says this. The words of King David from Psalm 91. You like King David, don't you? For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Nelson, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Paul, like the Apostle Paul, you have already shared with your faith with persons of this body of believers, and on that basis, we are prepared to proceed with your wonderful baptism today. This is a great celebration. As an encouragement to this church body, would you please share briefly your experience of Jesus Christ?
I came to know the Lord on May 26, 1993. I had come from a background where my parents divorced when I was 11. I grew up with a lot of anger, a lot of pain, a lot of heartache. And I grew up and I decided to rebel. It wasn't long before I turned probably about 13. I grew my hair long down to my waist. I looked pretty scary. I listened to heavy metal music. And if you asked me what kind of day I was having, I was like, what's it to you? I was very negative, very evil in my own way, and I just lived for myself. And eventually, that kind of lifestyle, I remember deciding that I would follow the crowd, the guys that were tough, that had the long hair, the leather jackets. And in my day, they were headbangers. Today, I don't know why we exist anymore, but that's what we were in my day. And I followed hard after that crowd. I wanted to be like them. I wanted to be tough. I wanted to be cool. I didn't want to hurt anymore. And in my eyes, those guys didn't hurt. For some reason, they had it all together. And I just desperately wanted to be like them. I just didn't want to feel pain anymore. So that got me in trouble. And by the time I was 14, I was in jail for armed robbery. At that time, the Lord first spoke to me through another inmate who shared a book with me entitled The Cross and the Switchblade by David Wilkerson. I read that book and thought, well, if God can do that in the lives of those kids, he can do that in mine. And sure enough, I saw the hand of the Lord work mightily in my life at that time. I was released from prison on a dollar's bail. I saw many miracles, but I had not yet been converted. I was not really saved. There was no real conviction, but God still worked in my life. And it was many years later, when I remembered that time, I found myself living with the number one safecracker in North America. It's a whole bunch of bikers, and I loved that lifestyle. I thought, you know, no one can hurt me here. I'm protected. I'm with the toughest people in the world. You know, no one can hurt me here. Deep down inside, I was scared, terrified, and when I was living with those people, I started doing drugs. I got into cocaine, and I decided, you know, this was enough for me. I had enough. I decided that I wanted to break away from that lifestyle. And I remembered the God and that story about David Wilkerson, and I said, you know, God, I got to get out of here. I got to leave now. And eventually, God found a way for me to go to New Brunswick, and that was in 1993. And I got there, and I went to a gospel hall where I heard the Word of God preached every night faithfully, just sincere gospel preaching. And I kept listening and listening, and the more I listened, the more I wanted to be saved. I wanted to be saved more than anything else in the world. Eventually, on that night, May 26, 1993, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I trusted Him. I saw in His Word what it meant to be saved. I just trusted Him as my Savior. I knew that God couldn't lie, and I just trusted Him first weekend. And all these changes started taking place, and I wish my story would end there, and I could tell you that was, you know, I went and lived a holy life after that, but that's not exactly what happened. The devil got a hold of me right away. If you remember in the Gospels, the devil kind of had Peter too, because even Jesus said, you know, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And so I went back into the world, and I did fail, and I ended up in prison for murder. And I was sitting there wondering, you know, it's over now, and I must have certainly committed the unpardonable sin. If there's ever an unpardonable sin, that's it. And I sat in that prison, and I remember crying. I remember sitting there and a Bible coming to me in the mail, and I thought, it's too late for me, and I cried.
And now you're here today.
God has been merciful. Mm-hmm. I've been in prison now almost 10 years. During that time, God has forgiven me. I've rededicated my life to the little bird, and I've seen more miracles. Just to share with you briefly, I had no money, I have nothing, I made about $50 every 2 weeks. The Lord has provided over $2,000, I've completed 3 courses from Buyer Crest now, and I'm on my way to going into full-time ministry, and that's why I want to be baptized today. I want to follow the example of Christ in baptismal waters. I want to dedicate my life to Him. And I just like to share what I read in one of my classes. It's kind of interesting how God works things out. I'm getting baptized and I'm doing a course on discipleship. So anyway, it says, Michael Green said this about baptism. He said, baptism is the sign of the kingdom of God. It shows that we have surrendered to Him as our King, and it is the uniform we wear as we go about the King's business. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to do. I want to go into full-time ministry, serve the Lord, because there's nothing better. You know, I've lived life in the fast lane, but there's nothing quite as exciting as living for the Lord. So that's why I want to be baptized, and that's why I'm here today.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. See, you're an apostle. See?
Yeah.
Paul, I give you this charge from the Word of God. It says, He will teach us His ways so that we may walk in His paths. From the prophet of Isaiah in Isaiah 2, verse 3. Hey, Paul. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Abide with me, lest walls even die. Nothing is deepens, Lord, in me abide. When other helpers fail and comfort me, I need thy presence every passing hour. But by thy grace and for the tempter's bow, who like thyself my guidance they can be. Through cloud and sunset, abide with me.
Ah, what a great experience this morning. Isn't it? Just amazing. How exciting. I mean, I know that our Heavenly Father is just as excited today watching His children walk through these waters. I just know He is. And what joy springs from heaven when a celebration like this occurs in the church. And I trust the same is for you. I trust that you are rejoicing. There's not much message this morning because the message is everywhere this morning. It's in the faith journeys that you've heard. It's in all the symbolism that you've seen and evidenced. And as I mentioned, we began with the Advent candle, a symbol of faith, and how appropriate, because baptism declares the faith of the believer. You heard that proclaimed this morning. The baptism celebration symbolizes the death to old life and announces the new life in Christ. It's a physical picture of spiritual truth. Only faith in Christ makes a person a member of God's family, but baptism shows the person is a part of God's family. And it's similar, and as I heard Rick Warren explain it, it's similar to the wedding ring, a visible reminder of an inward commitment made in the heart. It's an act of initiation, not something to be put off until a person feels spiritually mature. The only biblical condition is that of faith, belief in Jesus Christ. And that's why these candles are so important here. Because God has given us, each of us, a message to share, something to proclaim about who Christ is to us, a life journey. And just as the shepherds bear testimony to the birth of Christ, when you become a believer in Christ, you become a messenger for Christ. Often we feel like we don't have much to share. I never feel that way because I always like to share a story or two. But we all have stories to share. We all have a storehouse of experiences that we can proclaim, that God uses to bring others to Him. And that's what these candles are all about. These are to remind us that we are likewise to shine the true light, Jesus Christ, with others. We're called Jesus' disciples. We're called to proclaim, just as the angels heralded His birth, we are to disciple. The candle symbolism creates within us a desire to share our experience of Christ with others. These people baptized here this morning had many Christians shining Christ on them to assist them to this place today. These candles give us a picture of commitment. They present to us the reality that our walk with God is such a powerful, life-giving tool that others need to see. So let's continue. Let's continue to shine to a world. Our joyful experiences, our life message, our journey of faith, our journey with Christ. That's why there's one candle that isn't lit, because that candle's for you. Now maybe you realize today that need to commit yourself fully to following Christ. I'm not sure what God is talking to you about, but maybe you need to follow Christ's example. Maybe you feel that tug to be baptized. Maybe it's just to share with someone else your journey of faith so that you too may light a candle up front here for them as you lead them in their spiritual journey. Don't deprive this candle from being lit. Rejoice with this candle. Worship the light, the true light, that has entered this world and gave us the supreme example. As John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. He calls us His children. I get such joy in knowing that the manger proclaims not just His birth, but it proclaims that God came to us. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You. We thank You that we are allowed to proclaim. We thank You that we're allowed to baptize so freely. God, it's just so wonderful. Yet it's such a hard walk. And yet, God, we know that it is the right walk as we come and proclaim to You through these waters the faith journey that we walk through as individuals. And God, sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it seems tough. Sometimes, God, it seems like it's more and more difficult. But Lord, even as we heard today, You are the only way. And it's all about You. And God, You are in control. And Father, we submit and surrender ourselves to You as Your people, so that we, just like the shepherds, just like the angels, would herald Your truth, proclaim You. You are born. You are born. And God, we too are alive because You are alive. So we thank You. Father, thank You. Thank You for each one here. God, bless us. Bless us, we pray. Protect us, God, every day. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.